watching Prohibition fall down. All right, guys, it is girl talk.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Is that authoritative enough? Do I have enough authority in that?
Yeah, I decided you're the mellow one and I'm the spaz one, so that's why it works.
Dude, I don't have authority in growing. And sometimes it's hard for me to explain. People are like, oh, you're a professional grower. I'm not a professional grower. I'm more of a, I like to be able to understand what the plant needs, Scotty, but being in the same room with it, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking, who was the, there was some kind of bum was on the last show. It was a fly fishing bum. And I was like, huh, remember you asked what you have to be a bum? I wonder if I could just be a grow bum.
Potentially. Let's see. Plus, this is Grow Talk, guys. So we're going to get in some grower questions off dudegrows.com. I can give you a quick preview here before we get up into the show. Interesting questions. This one here, changing LED spectrum at the end of flower. Going to learn a little bit about, Guru, I think you pulled an article, or it was in the comments, about changing the last 3 days even of flower, getting a stronger terpene profile and smell through some different light spectrums.
Very cool, by the way. It's very interesting.
Is this a good sub-irrigation setup? We're going to review an Amazon irrigator. Or no, is that the one?
Yeah. I think it's a drip irrigation setup.
Yeah,
drip irrigation setup.
A lot to learn with this. It's an excellent question.
Follow-up after fixing a light leak. Kiwi Green, man, I love the follow-up. His garden is looking awesome, so we'll get into what he did to change. He had too much light as well as some other issues. And can I pre-mix nutrients for the week? There's some variables in that one. Depends on what you're using, how long you can let stuff sit in a reservoir before you use it. I'm always a mix and go guy, but we'll address it.
What was the commercial? Set it and forget it. Remember that one? Nothing. I'm telling you, that's what I do. You're a mix as you go guy. I'm a set it and forget it kind of guy. 55-gallon drum, brother.
Before we get into the show, DGC membership running strong, guys. Help support this show. Trying to come up with a new idea for the members, Scotty, that we can hit everyone with. I got Optic Foliar. Dinesh gave up 200 units of Overgrow, and he actually threw in some transport with it. So I'm working on some more benefits, guys, so I don't sound too much of like a broken record of you getting, oh no, but free seeds from Seeds Here Now, 30% off recharge, 30% off in the DGC outlet. That's all through $10 a month on dudegrows.com under support us.
Yay.
It's a great way. What's that?
30% off all this merch that P Thunder's making for us. Absolutely cool stuff. And yeah, like this cup. What is this, an Arctic cup I got? Powder coated with the THC molecule on there. It's just another thing to get 30% off for your member.
Those things are money, man. They are Arctic.
Hey, did you see these grinders? As long as I'm showing off merch, I promise I'll be really quick. But come on.
I haven't seen it yet.
Badass, man. Little grinder going on.
I think we got a two-piece and a four-piece.
You know what? Fuck the four-piece. It's too complicated, man. And this is my favorite, man. I don't know if they're going to make another one of these. The one of a kind for Scotty. Can you do dabs off this? It would take all day, wouldn't it?
With a nectar collector.
I love it. Thanks, Pete Thunder. Beautiful.
Yeah, if you want to, and if we've helped your grow, come on over to dudegrows.com under membership.
Hell yeah. DGC 710 concentration celebration is going on. And thank you, Jay Maestro. He made me this beautiful flyer. Is it a flyer if it's only online? A virtual flyer, whatever. Yes. Check out Instagram. It's got all the information. And dude, it's shaping up. It's, like I said, we got a pro division, a DGC division. Me and Guru and Maestro are all working on the championship belt design a couple days ago. Yeah, we're going for it. We're gonna make it fun. We're gonna make it. Like I said, I got the mentality of a 15-year-old, so I'm gonna be delivering the championship belts.
Yeah, if you guys are wanting to learn more about what I call, not in a negative way, all the concentration hype, I'm like old man grandpa here. I yell at fast cars and I only smoke flower.
You know what? It's time out. The concentrations are not a hype, or the concentrates are not a hype. It's a very simple way to
just get. Just by hype, I'm using hype wrong. I mean, it's hot, and it's trending, man.
There's a difference between hype and the future.
Yeah, it's such great tech. Ever since that we've made things, allowed things to be legal, and you've had real talent that can make a living, I don't know what you'd even say, but creating these type of things, instead of going to some shitty chemistry job, they're going to get in a job within an extraction lab and making this art, this absolute beautiful, these things that were never available before. Yeah, I love it. I'm super excited to be celebrating.
I am not anti, my friend. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on it. So I used the wrong choice of words. Regardless, if you're wanting to learn more about it, you're wanting to make your own or up your game, this would be a great event to do that,
yep,
in a network, if you will. So DGCCup@gmail.com. You can come to compete, attend, just have fun, hang out, learn, get some rosin pressed, enjoy the evening. And ticket links will be sent out. DGCCup@gmail.com is how you'll get a link sent to you with more details.
Yeah, excellent.
7/13, July 13th, right?
It sure is. It sure is, dude. Looking forward
All right.
to it.
Who's growing some dank hair?
This guy ain't not much of a noob anymore. If this is what a noob grows, I'll be a noob all day. This is beautiful noob grows from Instagram.
Noob grows with some shine apple from Dominion Seed Company. Shout out to Duke Diamond.
Come on, respect. Somebody's delivering genetics like that. You got to tip your hat, no?
What's the name, the story behind how you get the name Duke Diamond? Do you know?
I don't, but we've hung out with him before. How the hell do we never ask him? I bet he got them diamonds, homie. Shit looked like diamonds.
I went to pull more info. I went to seedsherenow.com.
Great.
And found out, you know how I've said before, if you guys listen to the show, I really like how Duke puts good descriptions on the back of his seed packs, given everything from here. I'll just give you a few examples. Going into how it smokes, pretty entertaining. He goes, how does it smoke? Really smooth, almost mentholated, with a nice candied apple flavor. Immediate onset with a strong body leaning towards the narcotic side. When I asked him what he recommended the strain for, he's like, getting put into the couch medicinally.
Right.
He also gives pest resistance, mold resistance, mildew resistance, like a rating. So he's got 5 out of 10 on pest resistance, 8 out of 10 on mold resistance, and 5 out of 10 on mildew resistance. I could see how, after looking at plants after plant after plant and encountering problems, I've seen a tent where one plant didn't have nearly as much mildew. And so it's interesting that you have to grow a lot. This is where breeders do a lot of work to really put those numbers there and have meaning behind them. You got to grow a lot of cycles to see what's happening, how the plants function and resist things.
Agreed. Do you think that a bud mold, though, is really dependent on how big the bud is when you've got those giant knuckles?
Definitely outdoor in a less controlled environment.
And the first and foremost thing that's going to affect it being able to get bud or deal with the bud that tries to infect it is genetics.
Yeah, there you go.
If it has resistance, that mold, even if the spores get there, they're never going to be able to grow and populate.
Okay, there's one more interesting thing on here has his stress notes. He's like, hey, let me give you some potential stress notes. Rarely some phenos of the shine apple show light sensitivity issues with lights that are too bright. Starting bloom around 700 mm square and then gradually working up to 800 to 900 mm square worked best for the sensitive phenos. Plants will become more vigorous and flowers will tighten up nicely. So how the hell am I figuring out my mm square?
If you know, you can figure out your U-moles if you have the total PPF of your light that you're using, and then you know the area of your grow.
Right.
You can figure out your U-mole per meter square. And it's really cool that with the advancements in lighting and light testing, that we're able to control it as a variable in the grow and really get accurate measurements to have control your variables and figure out that some plants will stress and will do better if they have lower light levels earlier on, gradually going up, and some are able to just handle extreme light levels all the time.
All right, help dummy Scotty do this again. What do I just ask the manufacturer? I call Spectrum King and ask him.
It requires a little bit of math on your end. The most you're probably going to get from a light manufacturer is the total PPF of the light.
Okay,
which is how much light per second is coming out of your light.
Sure.
And from that, with some conversion factors, you can convert that to U-moles and then use your grow area, your measurements to get it to meter U-moles per meter squared.
And what, we just call you?
No,
you just do dude's bro science. Be like, man, it looks a little bright on them plants. I'm going to raise my light up a little bit. No, I don't know. I'm not trying to dumb it down. This is good information to figure out if you're trying to be precise with your growing game. Reminds me of Canna Cairo there when I'm like, what's your plan for flower this next round? He's like, well, let's see. Let's load up the spreadsheets. I will tell you exactly what's happening on day 52, hour 20.
Yeah. So, it is funny, this industry.
But it grows the shit, so.
Yeah, this industry is kind of whizzing past our skill sets and knowledge base, and we're just kind of, like I said, learning in public and watching it go by, or I guess hanging out with it. We jumped on the train, though.
Oh, it's been a hell of an evolution, dude. That full light, full flip, man. We used to, when this show was starting, we talked shit about LEDs.
Yeah.
He's like, nope, nope, no good, not good. Yeah. Nope.
I had no idea what organics was.
All right, into the grow talk off dudegrows.com. Get your grower questions up, guys. Back at it. Chugging along here, even though summertime's coming. I always make Scotty a little nervous with some of the summer plans, but we're going to coming at you consistent. So get your grower questions up. We'll get as many as we can on the show at dudegrows.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, this one's interesting. Changing the LED spectrum at the end of flower. He goes, what's up, DGC? And this is from Growing Pain 5. Or growing pains, depending on how you look at 5.
Oh, I get it.
Just like obsolete.
Okay, this guy must be my age, man.
What up, DDC? The dude, among others, said that he switches from HPS to metal halide for the last 10 to 14 days in flower in order to trigger a response from the plants to produce more resin essential oils. I specifically sometimes go to a metal halide, but really liked going back when I used HID from an HPS bulb. And then the last 10 days to 2 weeks, I'd go to a Hortolux Blue, which is a heavy, like in the blue spectrum. And I saw, yeah, increased resin production in the sheer sense of trimming even these plants versus the ones that weren't under it. Scissors were sticking up twice as quick. So he goes, I have an identical version, one HLG, Horticultural Lighting Group LEDs in 3000 Kelvin and 5000 Kelvin. And was wondering if switching them out would have a similar effect or if this is something that's limited to traditional lights. Also included is a shot of the tent to show what I ended up making for my flood table, polycarbonate roofing panel with a quarter or a quarter, oh, I'd say about a, what, a quarter inch pitch, draining.
It's more of like a 25 to 12.
Yeah, draining into a gutter with end caps. And you know what? That is badass, dude. I love seeing when people just, man, when you just sit there and think about the materials that are available to you, how you can save some money. That's really cool auto drain. And your plants look awesome.
And just to clarify, that's for every 12 inches, it goes down a quarter inch.
A quarter inch of fall. I didn't see the decimal point, damn it.
Guru's college was worth it.
Yeah, rise over run.
Yes, that's the terminology.
That's really so cool, the way that if you don't have a grow store by you, take a look. I don't see much from a grow store there, do you?
Oh, no, not really. As far as, yeah, his trellis, he's got the PVC-made trellis. And yeah, everything looking nice and
talk homemade. About some junky buds too.
Yeah, he's spending his money on his lighting. He's got those nice HLGs. So what should he do here? Should he go to his 5,000 Kelvin? And how is this going to affect you? I think you looked into this a little bit.
Let's just the 5,000 Kelvin is the higher you go, the more blue you go. Is that correct?
The more blue, and that's not to say that there's not red light in a 5,000 Kelvin LED light.
Because we talk about HPS being like 2200 Kelvin or something like that. It's really low.
Right around there. Really, really low. And it's like a yellowish red.
Right.
Really red, but to our eyes appears more yellowish light.
Sure. Okay.
Where, and then some people have, I mean, they have those like 10,000 Kelvin metal halide finishing bowls.
Right.
Just like a
super
normal,
blues.
Yeah.
I never tried one of those that were like strictly like they marketed as a finishing.
And there's a couple different things at play when people are doing that.
By the way, this is super interesting. Thank you, Glenn. I had no idea.
One is UV light. If UV light's not present, the plant's not really going to reach its full potential of terpene and flavonoid and cannabinoid production. UV light's really important in the process of making the enzymes that make the stuff that makes your terpenes, flavonoids, and cannabinoids, and then it needs a wide range of micronutrition too.
Well, what is there UV light in LEDs?
There's a UVB is the one we're talking about, and there can be some, not as much as like a finishing bulb or like even an LEC has.
Right.
Like I didn't think my Spectrum Kings had any UV in them.
They should not. There might be like some minor UV leak from like around the phosphor on the LEDs or something like that. But for the most part, no. Really low in UV, really low in infrared. But that's just one part that comes into play with that because your micronutrition plays too. But the red to blue ratio plays a big role in it too. Blue light is more used by the plant for producing excess of those terpenes and flavonoids and cannabinoids that we're really after with the cannabis plant. Like at the end goal, we're after more of those. And if red light is present with the blue light in a high proportion, the plant uses that red light metabolically to be able to release the terpenes from itself and kind of off gas them into the air, which in a natural system like outside, that's what the plant's trying to do with those terpenes. It's either trying to attract pollinators or deter pests.
Yeah, terpenes and flavonoids, that's the reason you have them in Mother Nature, right?
All of those fall under, I'll call it secondary metabolites.
Okay.
It's not primary nutrition of the plant driving growth. It's the plant doing something else. It could have to do with its immune system, attracting pollinators. It's to do other processes for the plant other than just grow.
That makes sense.
And the way the plant's going to actually, like if it has a ton of red light, it'll volatilize and it's able to off gas those terpenes out into the environment like it would naturally do. But with an excess of blue light and really low red light, the plant actually retains those terpenes in its trichomes.
And is that just a trick because normally in autumn, is that real? In autumn, there's more red light and orange light?
There's more far red light and red light in the sun as it's setting.
So simulating
autumn, being like, yeah, hey, you need to get these pollinators here and get this plant pollinated.
So, sure. So I can see by giving it a blue light at the end, you're just tricking it, and it's keeping them from volatilizing.
You're making it retain those the terpenes and flavonoids in the trichomes, which is where you want them to be when you dry and cure the plant.
You don't
want the plant to be actively off-gassing those.
It makes sense.
And that's just has to do with the way the plant's metabolism.
So is using
red and blue light and UV light for different things. And as a grower, you can kind of influence those in your favor more so than the real reasons the plant's actually trying to do those things. We want this to be the most terpy, cannabinoid-rich bud sure. to smoke.
So it's almost like you're tricking it into making these terpenes, and then at the very end, it's to release them. At the very end, you're saying, no, hold on to them for a sec. Hold on to them.
Pretty much.
Huh, so very cool.
What I'm getting as a grower is saying, I want to add UV. I mean, this article is from Just Cool and posted up out of Max Yield. The last 72 hours, it says many growers are not aware of the final fragrance of weed can be made stronger in the last 72 hours. Ultraviolet B is required during the flowering phase to stimulate genetic plastids in the trichome disc cells to create enzymes required for terpenes and cannabinoid synthesis. So where am I going to get my UVB? Is that, like I talked about the Hortolux Power Veggies before. Those are T5 bulbs.
Power Veggies have UV in them. You can get just like.
Now, is that UVB specific? Is there a difference between UV and UVB?
What is UVA and B? What's the difference?
It depends on how close it is to blue, like true blue light. Like UVA is the higher nanometer. It's closer to 400 nanometers. UVB is lower down, and then UVC. And the lower those nanometer ranges get, the more energetic that light is, you have to think of.
Okay.
UVC is getting to the energetic point of like radiation.
Yeah, I was thinking UVC stands for cancer.
That is a good analogy to remember what UVC stands for. Right. That's the one you don't want.
And
generally, it's
burn?
Blocked out almost completely by the ozone layer of the earth.
So
I would need it.
Is B for burn? Like that's the one that'll give you a sunburn.
UVB is the one that's attributed to sunburns.
Okay. All right. So what's
look at all these association words.
UVA is kind of in between UVB and just regular blue light.
Okay, so that would be the least damaging?
Least damaging, ultraviolet, least beneficial for it doesn't really do anything to the plant.
So I'm thinking I want the B. I don't want to go all the way to the C. I want the B.
No.
There's not a good LED solution. So, I mean, this I used to, which I haven't done in a while. It makes me think, how is it worthwhile then to run some, you know, UV power veggies, or what other source can I have for UV light? And should I run it only during the last couple weeks or the last 3 days of flowering? It would be beneficial being ran during most flower production, right?
Depending on the level. You very easily can go from the plan of supplementing UV for your plant to sunburning your plant.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to know. That's one thing that, like I said, I don't have any UV currently in my spectrum. If I should buy one or add some UV and check it out. I mean, I know when I had, I did run UV in my T5s. I'd run like an 8-bulb fixture. Every other bulb, it would be 4 UVs. and then it would be four. And I don't know if that's exactly what Hortolux recommends, but it makes me think I want to get some UV light in my grow for like some portion of flower towards the end.
Okay, my recommendation as far as it goes to UV light is if you want to have a pure UV light source in your grow, you need to be the type of hobbyist grower that wants to experiment with things and is going to like keep spreadsheets of stuff and figure out exactly how much of that UV light they need to be using, because it could be really strain dependent and you can damage your plants pretty easily too. But if there's a horticultural fixture that you know has UV light in it, like an LEC or a metal halide or something like that, you can use that to kind of get this effect for your plant and not really have to worry about burning it with UV. But if you're kind of playing with fire, if you just have like a pure, like a reptile UV lamp or something.
Right.
No, I'm just going to take my eight bulb T5 fixture, very common fixture, and fill everyone up with that Power Veg UV and grow one cycle under it, straight UV.
But let's be honest.
Well, see, you would want to supplement with that though. Instead of trying to use that just for a grow cycle, you're not really growing your normal way and then supplementing with UV.
I'm having a veg spectrum
all the way through. You would want to have a couple of those UV bulbs with your normal lighting as like a supplement light to get some UV spectrum into your grow.
I'll let you know when I get it set up. To be continued, I believe in review, I want some UV one way or another.
I mean, the UVB is interesting. So HPS has none?
As far as I know, zero.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you are right about putting the trikes on, using those blues.
Since we started that with a bunch of good LED talk and he's running HLD, I'll remind you guys, Horticulture Lighting Group, they have a coupon code DUDE going over there. It's currently good on the HLG 550 version 1 and 2, and the HLG 300 version 1 and 2, as well as, I think you run these, Scott, the HLG Elite 360.
The double doubles. These things are amazing. Just an excellent, excellent quality light. Just super well engineered. Those guys are, the guy told me when I was talking to him and he goes, look, I could build you an iPhone if I wanted to. Like with the equipment they have over there, it's fucking amazing. Those guys are
Check them out.
Smart.
Coupon code DUDE, get you some more discount. I'm trying to get a hold of them. Again, those guys are hustling. They're always busy. They're always at all these expos. See if we can get the coupon code DUDE to come up on some more products with them.
Yeah, so. Excellent quality. Good stuff.
All right, is this a good irrigation setup, man? Miguel 092996.
I'd like to poke fun and say, well, if it's on Amazon, probably not, but everything is on Amazon these days, you know? So let's see what we got.
Now, where do you think I get my toilet paper? No, just kidding.
Don't even start, dude. This All is kind of cool.
This is interesting. We're looking at an irrigation system here. It's called from Moistened Land. It's kind of a weird Moistened Land.
When they just translate things, that makes me almost want to vomit, man.
This is a do-it-yourself micro automatic drip irrigation kit. It has a 30-day digital programmer water timer. It can run on some double A's or plug-in. It comes with its own containers. It's only $41.
Anytime you see a watering system with a USB cable, I don't know.
It's got a cycle, so you have some options in the way the watering time, 1 to 99 seconds.
It looks like it sits in a repurposed like bedpan.
Yeah. So this is just a small kind of Chinese version of something super simple. What I'd be worried about with this is it's probably a really cheap digital pump. Might not be very waterproof. And that reservoir is tiny anyhow.
I don't think they explain a siphon at all in here.
I mean, maybe they figured it out. But the point is
don't you guys just want to buy some plastic shit?
With a maxi jet pump, a 5-gallon bucket, or even if you really wanted to get it set up a garbage can, and you can make one of these systems with a little bit of that half-inch rubber hose.
The problem with these systems, and you can maybe give me the solution. What you're talking about, Scotty, I totally agree. You're going away, you want a nice freaking pump. I agree with you recommending the MaxiJet pumps. They're small, they work well. But is the timer, because a cheap timer, 15-minute tab timer, that's a cheap timer, but you can't run for 15 minutes. It'll flood everything out typically.
Yeah, but you can get those, you know, for $10 at Walmart, you can get a reliable timer, an Intermatic timer that you plug a timer
into. Yeah, but it doesn't allow it for, what's the low, when it comes on,
digital.
How long is it going to come
every
on
minute.
For?
Well, it's digital per minute, you can change it. This is 2019, man.
Or even that, they have the like the tab hour timers.
Yeah.
Where you control how many minutes for the hour your drippers would come on.
I'm telling you, $10 buys you a digital timer at Walmart, man. Oh, I don't want to go to Walmart.
Not that's going to, okay, I'm thinking the proper horticulture terminology or the timer, a cycle stat timer is precision timer where you can have it come on as your plants grow. You're going to need to change this. And maybe at first it only comes on for, you know, 5 seconds squirt. It's good. But then you're like, as you know, you need more, or you in the amount of times per day. Let's say you want it to, you know how a cycle stat works, man. It's going to come on for 5 seconds, 10 times a day.
You're overcomplicating it, man. You could turn this thing on and start it for a minute a day. Then when they start getting a little bit heavier, a couple minutes a day, using that $10 pump, and you could buy a $10 timer.
The pump's going to be the most expensive part.
Yeah, $30 MaxiJet pump. It really depends on how many you're feeding. I actually wouldn't skimp on the pump. I want to say they go from like 500, 750, buy 1,000. At least if you match it up with how many plants you're feeding, and then you just take that soft, what is it, half inch tubing that you can get at the grow store,
yeah, to make your manifold, and then have quarter inch line off that.
Yeah,
and then at the end you can have different, no matter if you feel like the MaxiJet's putting out too much pressure, right, you can just have different, what do they call it, with drip irrigation, I mean different ratings of drip. Like it will only let, even if it has pressure behind there to a certain degree, it's only going to allow amount of.
They have those emitters that you can get. But,
different drip emitter rates.
You worked at a hydro store, man. I can tell. You know, you're fancy. I go to Home Depot and, you know, after smoking a joint allegedly in the parking lot and be like, dude, let's make a system, man.
Yeah, the good. Yeah, if you have a pond supply store and a hardware store and what else, a welder in your town, you're good to go.
Okay, but this thing you could really make something simple. If you wanted to make a really big one of these, say that you had 15 or 20 or even 8 plants, big plants in 5 gallon buckets, you could go to Home Depot, get a garbage can, you get that soft pipe that you do have to go find that stuff at. Don't buy the Home Depot sprinkler pipe. Go buy it at the grow store because it's really soft and supple. It's self-sealing. And then go buy some drip emitters, and you just take the drip emitters with some stakes, all that stuff with like quarter, and get the big thick ones that are quarter inch ones that are readily available to grow store, and then you just literally make the system yourself. You just lay this pipe out wherever you want it. You know, just take a little knife and stick the drip emitters right in
and
there.
And you're gonna have a much more reliable easy system too.
And then when you want to expand it too, you got a 50-foot roll of that hose. You know, you just be like, oh, you know, I want to do something different with it now. It's totally expandable.
I agree. If you let me know, I still think your timer is going to be your weak point. Most cycle timers are, I mean, I'm looking right now as we were talking on Amazon here, but to get a good one, they're like, you know, $50, $60, $75.
I'm saying you don't need a cycle timer. You get a digital timer and you turn it on for a minute a day, the first day, you know, or whatever. Go watch it for, you know, actually you can do it.
Yeah,
for,
I feel
the day of the week if you really want to get into it. But just kind of, you know, everything's not supposed
like
to be
control.
Like.
I like all the control, Scotty, over my.
That's so funny. I'm the guy that overcomplicates things, dude. Okay? It's my job.
All right.
I got one more thing to say. I'm so sorry if I forgot it out. I've done this before thinking I was going to work, and all the water from the 25-gallon garbage can would just be on the floor. You have to put what's called a siphon breaker in if you're going to make one of these, or else as soon as you fill that tube, it'll create a siphon that'll just empty the entire reservoir. And what you do is right above, still in the reservoir, right above where the water line, right above the water line, you just take like a 1-inch piece of your dripper and you put it in there and squirts back down into the reservoir as it's working, actually circulates a little bit. And that's your siphon breaker. If you got any questions, just email, because it can get complicated. Actually, I can't, but as long as you understand it, it's very simple.
I would say just Google it. You'll get a quicker response from Google than
Scott. My dad had to teach it to me, man.
It depends on your setup. I've never used one, and I've never had a flood. The only way I flooded my shit was dumbass filling up the 50-gal, 100-gal res, and then, no, I'm going to run upstairs real quick, or I'm going to go do this. You come back, oh, right. My God, the res has been filling for a long time.
Don't remind us the face when I think about all the places I flooded, all right? What do you do when you just show up and there's just water pouring out the front door and the garage door? I mean,
light it on fire, call the insurance company.
Yeah, everything's cool.
Tell me who's slinging some recharge, man, these days.
Yeah, come on, Guru. Who we got? Who we got? Oh, H2O Hydroponics, man. Lansing, Michigan.
Michigan again.
Michigan,
all right.
Boys. Of course. Those guys are strong.
You got anybody slinging recharge in Oklahoma yet, man?
A little bit. I got Aquaponic Steve working it for us over there. And hell yeah, man.
Is Grow Generation in Oklahoma yet? Do you know? I know they're trying to have stores in
I don't think it's opened yet, but yes.
Yeah, they're working it.
All right. All right. Let's move on to another Grow Talk question, because this is some good news from Kiwi Green.
Yeah.
This follow up after or. Yeah, posted by Kiwi Green. This is a follow-up to a post from a few weeks ago. I couldn't add new pics, so I will add them here. Oh, he's trying to add new pics to his old post. We don't have that full functionality.
Heck no.
Sorry, guys. I thought I'd reply to this already. I dialed my lights down to 50% for a week. Because before, if you look back at his old post, he had some like canoeing, some leaves like praying up, some issues with his canopy. And I think some people in the comments as well of us, we said maybe the lights are too bright. So he turned them down 50% for a week, and then he brought them up to 75%. Another beauty of having adjustable LEDs. I don't know. I think he's running maybe HLGs too. And he goes, everything is looking great. All top stems are green, and the color is coming back in the leaves. I took CalMag out of the res and swinging out of the – oh, okay, just out of his what he's using. And swinging the pH from 5.8 to 6.3. Gave a good recharge top feed. And happy how everything's looking.
Yeah. That
canopy is looking good, man.
Absolutely.
Definitely good.
Absolutely.
Look at the bottom trimming here, guys. If you're watching the show, this is what I want to see in a lower canopy. Air movement, fan on either side down there. Looks really nice. Gives it all that bottom larf.
Yeah. I love the ingenuity of the DGC. Kiwi Green found a way to get recharge in New Zealand via England.
Yeah, the UK, baby.
That is pretty interesting. I've been thinking about becoming an underground recharge dealer in Canada.
Recharge worldwide.
Anyway, that's good to hear, man. Glad the DDC could help out and your canopy's looking good and be able to adjust those lights. All right. All right. Pre-mixing nutrients?
Let's see. Can you premix nutrients?
I wouldn't premix the, I mean, for the week, man, for the week. Mr. Sheffield. He goes, hello, everyone. A family member told me about you today and said I'll get the best answers here. Okay, let's see what we can do.
Thank you.
My third grow started with General Organics Go Box. It's a box of all General Organics nutrients. I ended up buying the whole line in a gallon, so I guess I'm not trying anything new for several grows. I don't like buying gallons of organics unless I know I'm going to go through them fairly. Don't like them sitting around too long after I've opened them.
Yeah, but that stuff's stable, and just don't keep it in the light. Don't keep it under your lights.
Store it. Don't store it in your hot grow room.
Yep, cool place. Yeah. But it's stable. That's good stuff. I've tried that before.
My plants aren't on the same watering schedule, so I want to mix up 3 gallons and either put a submergible pump in the bucket or use a small electric motor with a mixer attached so the nutrient water is always moving. Will this work okay? I'll be using 3 gallons in 3 to 4 days. I added a picture of nutrients. Okay, so 3 gallons, I mean, that's low.
Right.
You don't, I would not want to premix that. It's such a small volume to have things swing around, this and that. Plus, you're not going to really be able to put a good stir pump in there necessarily. And it's just too low of a volume.
I think generally for me, anything under like 25 gallons and really 50. Is never going to hold pH near as stable as like a 50 gallon res or above.
Now that's just
a function of volume. The more water you have and the bigger volume of water you have with your nutrient solution, the easier it is for that nutrient solution to hold a stable pH.
Because the less percentage you have of it, you got a little fraction of your 55 gallon drum.
Exactly. So really, no, and especially with something as small as 3 gallons, that's easy enough to just mix up kind of as needed.
Well, and I don't mess with, I don't like, I know you can for a little bit, but organic, even though these nutrients I don't believe are truly organic, I don't know, maybe they have somebody listening, maybe they are, maybe they're not, but I don't like mixing up organic. I don't like mixing them up and having organic sit around. You got to really have that, I mean, more than just, you know, synthetic nutrients that mix well in solution and can stay stable. So I always check the manufacturer's recommendations on what brand I'm using,
right,
to what they know about it or how some will pH swing more than others. But organics, I don't, man. It always seems like there's something to get gummed up, a line, a pump, or Agreed. You find out that this molasses hit over here in the res because the mixer wasn't good enough. Like, I want to mix organics and I want to water them in.
Yeah, the idea with organics, isn't it to be in touch with your plants? And it's really not a set it and forget it type thing.
And obviously, I'm talking about some people, I mean, organics, I'm talking about bottled organics, or not even necessarily bottled organics. There's some different, I just got a gallon gifted to me of Medi One. Medi One's actually up here. It's pretty Green Planet Nutrients is more prevalent in Canada, but it's not necessarily, I don't know if it's fully organic, but it's murky. Anything that's like murky or wants to settle out in solution, I need like a molasses or liquid molasses or whatnot. I want to water in, stir up and water in right away, if possible. Or, you know, if you, yeah, and he's only doing 3 gallons. So hopefully that helped out. And what do we got, man? We didn't tell anybody about the door prize this week on this show yet. I'm looking at it right now as I look at dudegrows.com.
I got mine too. We should
foldable scorpion pipe. Got, what's up?
I still can't figure out how to open it, man. I got it.
No,
you, I got
come
it.
Come on, meow. Check it out. I've been using mine for a week. I'm about to do the last thing I haven't done with it. And guys, if you don't, if you're not seeing the video, show here a picture of this wolf foldable pipe. It folds up magnetically, and then the bowl closes and keeps everything secure. It has a little shotgun hole in the side. It's made out of metal, but a glass bowl. So you're smoking out of a glass bowl that's replaceable, and you can take it out to clean it. And I have to do my cleaning on it to give my final review. But so far, stoked to have something when you're out running around. Like this can just sit. People wouldn't even know what the hell it is, too. You just fold it up, packed full, right through your day, which.
Hell yeah.
You can just have it sitting, I won't say wherever in your car. Keep your shit safe right in your car. But Dude's Grower Prize this week, go over to dudegrows.com. Anybody can enter. Don't have to be a member. And you can win the Wolf Grind, a scorpion pipe.
I love it. Dude, we got to get this show on the road, man. I somehow convinced Tanazi to come over and under the guise of reviewing dabs, but I actually just got him to bring his best dabs over, man. So we got to wrap this up, dude.
Let's wrap it, man. Let's wrap it. Remind you guys, membership is strong over at dudegrows.com. If you want to support us, anything else, man, if you guys, I understand if you can't afford a membership, dude, just give some shout out. Spread the show. Social share. Is that what they call it, Scotty? Social share of the
is
show.
Is that what they call it? I like it. I'm going to start calling it that if they don't.
You had some funny song about social sharing or something. Yeah. Anyway, let's do some shout outs. Todd Dempster and the Mad Monkey.
All right, Blackbird 76 and Mostly Weed.
Bagseed and Hush Grown.
Yeah, Daddy Hayes, what's up? And Stick NYC, I know both them folks.
Hey, James Buttison.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. And Ned Denver.
Definitely the right guy.
Peace out, guys. Stay higher. Catch you manana.
All right. Take her easy, dude.
Peace out. Thank you. Later.
Some people love to blaze up the tank. Yeah, we get happy for noon. And when the boss says it's to take a little break, that means we lighten up a dude. It's just weed. It's just weed. I like to keep good thoughts on. It's just weed, it's just weed. In my toolbox there's a bone. Some people start their day off with a pill. It's what the doctor says to do. They shake their heads at natural medicine. Go ahead and try something new. It's just weed, it's just weed. I like to keep the good vibes on. It's just weed. It's just weed. I like to smoke it out in loud. Yeah. Now if the big man catch you riding high, ooh, we gonna lock you in a cage. No. If you wonder why he hates the tank, just look at how he's being paid. Yeah.